This is the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Anybody else want to preach a sermon? No? No takers today. Boy, what an exciting week for Pastor Joanna. When I read a text like that, I always think, really? Do I have to do this? But it's there. It is. It's in there, right? Jesus said these words, and that means that I have to deal with them. I think that, is it because I'm too far forward? There's a very big difference between Jesus saying these words to the people he said them to and us hearing these words in 2016. And I think that perhaps that's where we need to begin. In 2016, we live, perhaps not, I don't think it would be accurate to say that we live in a Christian country or a Christian world, but we certainly do not here in Canada face any persecution for being Christian. For the followers of Jesus, who weren't Christian, but who were Jewish, their life experience was very different, right? In order to follow Jesus, you had to make some pretty big sacrifices. For them, the Messiah that they had imagined, that the Jewish people imagined, was a kind of a King David hero type, right? They expected like a military, you know, God to come and save them from the enemies, to smite everybody that got in their way so that Israel would be powerful, and they expected, you know, thunder and lightning and earth-shattering changes. And they got Jesus, which turns out to have been a very good deal. But for them, that's not what they expected. It's not what people were anticipating. Jesus lived in a completely opposite way to what they were expecting, right? He hung out with all the wrong people. He went to places that Jewish people didn't go. He mixed with people he shouldn't have mixed with. He ate dinner with all the wrong people. He was not a military hero. And so the people who did follow Jesus did make big sacrifices that often would have caused family divisions, right? And they had to leave their families behind a lot of the time. to get up and go, to follow. And that was their reality. So, if I were to ask you a question, what does it cost you to follow Jesus? If you were really to very seriously consider that question, what does it cost you? Well, you probably get up a little earlier than other people on Sunday morning, right? And you support the church. So there's some financial something. Does it cost you friendships? Does it cost you your life? Not really, right? So, what? I'm really no different, right? I mean, I work for the church, but it's not anything more fantastic than any of you do day to day. What could it cost us? That's a different question. What could it cost us? If we maybe did things just a little bit differently, maybe we're a little bit bolder, because the followers of Jesus who had to endure that which this speaks of, they lived their following very boldly, right? They had no other choice, but they did. Because following Jesus meant that they had to join Jesus in eating with all the wrong people and going to all the places that nobody else went and doing all the stuff that everybody else thought was really bad and wrong. So that's my question. Not a chastising question, which would be easy to do after a reading like that. I can't. One thing I did think while I was looking through this is, as much as this is really difficult to deal with as I read this, and it sounds like Jesus is so angry and chastising, I thought to myself, it's actually surprising he wasn't like that more often, because the followers are so often, you know, just, they don't get it. So it's really surprising that Jesus wasn't more often just shaking people by the shoulders, right? Why don't you get this? So what could it cost us if we were so bold as to invite all the wrong people to church? If we went to all the places that made us the most uncomfortable, right? And for each of us, that's a different place. But what if we went there just to show kindness and love and compassion to someone? What would your life look like? What would your family look like? Your community? I think that this reading for us is that invitation. It's an invitation for us to be just that much bolder in our own living, in our proclamation, in our gospel sharing. Because there is good news, right? When I say the gospel of our Lord, gospel means good news. And somehow that means that within this text, there's good news. That the kind of radical, out there, unexpected love of Jesus It's earth-changing. It's paradigm-changing. It's life-changing. It puts everything on its head. I love that this, when Jesus says, "Do you think I came to bring peace to the earth?" No, I tell you. We never read this at Christmas, do we? Because the peace that Jesus brings isn't just, you know, tea time fairy tale peace. Not even at Christmas, right? The peace that Jesus brings is radical. It's crazy. It's earth-changing. And that's the kind of Jesus we have. That's the kind of Messiah that we have, the kind of Messiah that we follow, and that we are invited to follow ever more every day. So I want you to think about that place. Think about that place that would make you the most uncomfortable. Would it be a homeless shelter? Would it be the hospital? Would it be a hospice? Would it be the grocery store? Where would be the most terrifying place for you to go somewhere and say to somebody, "You are okay. You are loved, not because you earned it, not because you tried, not because you did something right, but you're okay." Where would be the scariest place? I want you to think about going there. Or maybe going to the second scariest place. I'll give you a... Think about whether you could do that. And then think about how you might be changed through that experience. Because I'm not sure it's not up to us to change the other person. We show them love, but I'm rather convinced that through that, we are as much changed as anybody else. And then I think that we become even better reflections of God in our hearts and in our lives. And then that is that earth-changing stuff, right? It's not cataclysmic. It's little bits at a time. It's little rays of light through the window, right? That's what changes everything, the little bits. For me this week, that's getting on a bus with 47 teenagers. That will be amazing and hard and amazing and a little bit hard, right? It's both. But I will get on that bus with kids that are really great and kids that want to push some limits. And I will love them. We will love all of them. And that will change something in them. And then I will be changed. And that's what it's about. That's what it's about. For the people who followed Jesus, in lots of cases, that meant discord and angst and disunity in families, in communities. We are fortunate that most often that is not the case for us. So then let us be bold, bolder and bolder as we are able to. Let's change the world so that we can be changed. One little bit at a time. One little scary place at a time. Challenge yourself. Challenge each other. Because we can do this. We're in this together, right? If I was alone in it, I would be, well, I'd be out of luck. But I'm not in it alone. I've got all of you praying for me. You promised. You promised that you would pray for me. And I have other leaders who stand beside me, right? And you have each other. You have each other. So let's do it. Why not? Right? Amen.